We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. He just sits there and looks pretty.
This is the O-Line Committee.
Except it's only two guys this week, because when Jay is away, the kids will play, Booney. That's dude, right. The principal's out of his office.
We're about to get in so much trouble. Oh, by the way, this is a huge fine for not being here. That's a no-show fine. That is a no-show. That's like conduct detrimental to the show. That's almost cuttable.
I'm gonna go off the grid for 10 days. You know, I'm not
can't
gonna
talk to me. And all of a sudden, he texts me out of nowhere, and I'm like, I thought you said you could only talk once, and then like 24 hours later, another text, and I'm like, dude, what is? Is he really just at home right now, laying on the couch? I swear, to God, if you are, Jay, I'll be so mad. Dude, so much work when he's gone. My wife's like, what is wrong with you?
He did find a way. Yeah, he's like, so he's on a trip. It's a hunting trip, an annual hunting trip, right? With his pops, right? He must have hit 10,000 feet somewhere, because he hit me up with it. He texted me this morning. He said, hey, I didn't watch any of the games this week. I heard the Dolphins hung 70 on somebody. which we'll get to. Give me the games we're – let me know what my record was, and give me the games we're picking. So,
by the way, that Dolphins tattoo is looking way more real every day. I mean, I got a nice spot somewhere on my – I'm going to get right a dolphin there, like, just crawling up my neck. And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to get Dan Marino's signature across it.
Wow. I think – could he just – it'd be great if he could just sign it himself with the tattoo gun on the show here, you know?
It's right here, right across the neck.
Oh, I love it.
My wife cringed. She was like, oh my God. Sweet babe. I look great.
Well, it's funny. I joked about the Cardinals. And 2 weeks later, they had a 3-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter on the Giants, and then they boat raced the Cowboys this weekend.
I know. Dude, it's been incredible. This year of football has been so much fun to watch. It is any man's race at any time. Just the minute that everyone's like, man, Dallas is looking really good, all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to retract that previous statement. And then, like as before, like I think it was Jay when I was talking about the Dolphins was like, oh, whatever. And then all of a sudden they go and put up 70 points. Like, dude, this isn't – and I love – and I'm going to butcher his name on purpose because this guy always pissed me off, like Chris Tomlinson or whatever – I love that he just threw it right back in Sean Payton's face.
Oh, like Chris Thomason.
Whatever.
He was a former Vikings beat writer for the Pioneer Press when
you pissed me off all the time because he asked me all the just. But that's exactly what Chris was like here, and that's why you're like, Chris, shut up, shut. I know we lost. The stat sheet over here. You know, you went 3 for 22 on third down. Yeah, thanks, Chris. I was out there. What's your question? No, I just thought you should know. What a dick.
What's the question? It's great. Sean Payton gets up there. He's ready to just light the whole building on fire. He addresses the historical defense program. And Chris is like, let me put my glasses on here for a second. So do you understand the historical magnitude of how inept you were today? What's the question, Chris?
Literally, I heard you. What's your question? No, I just didn't know if you was a new as a historic monument today. We're all looking at how bad you play. It's like, dude, I swear to God, I've heard that voice before. I started getting triggered in my mind, and I go, there's no way that they would let him go out there and ask that question. I found out it was him, dude. I was so excited. I was so pumped. So pumped.
Oh, my God. He's a legend, man. By the way, if you're stumbling into the O-Line Committee podcast here for the first time, thank you for stumbling into us. This is where an idiot fan, myself, gets to ask dumb football questions to usually two former NFL offensive linemen. Click that subscribe button and the like button on the O-Line Committee YouTube channel. And if you could give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple and Spotify on the audio side, you can help us grow this offensive line lifestyle community here. So before we get to our dumb football questions and then our picks, I would be a hypocrite if I came on this show 2 weeks in a row and trolled Jeremiah with college football T-shirts of teams that beat his Huskers and didn't acknowledge that I now owe you a steak and a THC seltzer for your Ohio State team getting lucky at the end of the Notre Dame game the other day.
Yeah. First of all.
Very lucky.
Let's be honest. They had 10 guys on defense.
Out of a timeout, dude. They called a timeout, hey, and they ran 10 guys out.
At what point was someone like, hey, why is Ricky on the sideline? Like, right, weren't you supposed to be out there?
He's still, looking at the clipboard.
We'll take it. It's a win's a win. No one's going to put an asterisk and be like, oh, by the way, there was 10 guys on the field. But I'll tell you what, Lou Holtz really pissed somebody off, man. That poor old guy, he couldn't say anything that day, and everybody was just crushing him. He's literally just trying to pump up his team, and everyone's like, where's Lou Holtz? Like, dude, Ryan, Chip, Ryan, stop that. He's probably on the same recliner taking a nap. Leave him alone. Yeah. He's definitely in bed, dude. Leave him alone.
So not the best moment for my Fighting Irish. And I was laying in bed like flipping back and forth on my phone, like on YouTube back and forth. So my two teams are Notre Dame and then the Gophers. The Gophers had a 3-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter against Northwestern. There were 6 fans in the stands for that game. Hey. And it's like they both, within 10 seconds of each other, just soiled themselves.
That was a fun game to watch. When that freshman was on the field, what is it, Darius Taylor?
The running back for the Gophers. Yeah.
I don't know if he's healthy or not, but my God, when he is on that field, it is fun to watch. It is explosive. That offensive line's getting after him. Like, you were like, what is going on? This is fun to watch. And then I heard they blew the lead. I'm sorry. I was flipping.
Yeah, you were like, you came on Purple Daily like, God, did you see this running back in the first half? Or like, Alex, did you watch the second half?
No,
like,
I didn't.
Defensive performance?
No, good. I didn't. Burn and then the I tape. Heard he got hurt, and I was like, my God, that's terrible. He would look phenomenal. And but yeah, hey, you know what? Hey, shout out to Marcus Freeman. We played together at Ohio State. Great. One of the greatest guys in the world. I love him to death. I was sad to see him lose, but at the same time, my Buckeyes won, so I can't be too upset. But I think he's doing a phenomenal job up there, and I don't know how people feel about him, but I think it's awesome and what he's doing. He's got those kids playing tough, and that team is their offense too. That running back that they have is fun to watch too. It's just these running backs are just they run through these holes and they have no just care in the world, and they're putting their shoulders down and they're just putting their head down. And you're like, oh, it's finally time to see it. I love it. And the offensive lines are playing better. I love it.
Cracking heads.
Shout out Joe Rudolph, too, O-line coach at Notre Dame. He was coaching by Ohio State. Great guy. Great, great fucking guy. Love him.
Wow, it sounds like maybe Notre Dame has a bunch of, like, Ohio State spies or something that are sabotaging.
No, sure we would never there. Do that. We play fair. We're not the Patriots.
Bunch of plants. Was Jim Tressel the consultant for that game for Notre Dame? Sweater vest?
Hey, whoa. Easy.
No, I'm just sad. Just at the end of the game felt a little fishy.
I will say that your PJ Fleck resembles an awful lot like his old coach. I'm just saying.
What, Jim Tressel?
Yeah.
With like
PJ
the tie
was like
and
a
the...
GA there when I was there, right at Ohio State. Yeah. I'm just saying he looks an awful lot like Tress back in the day. And there's
like to class it up.
About that. I like that. I like the classy.
Who was the Niners coach? Mike Nolan used to wear the suits on the sidelines.
The suits. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Before you got there.
That was before I got there, but I remember watching them on the that's great.
All right, I got some dumb football questions for you here.
Dude, we're gonna get in so much trouble tonight. Jay's not here to ding us or stop us or be like mute him. It's gonna be
You just got back from a rabid 6th grade football coaching adventure.
Shout out to the Chan 6-1 team. Their defense, I'll tell you what, man, it was a tough game. We won 13-0. We played to the bitter end. It was dark and the field was wet. The grass looked like Stanford's field. It was super long, and I was there. Everyone's looking at me, Coach, are we gonna throw it? I'm like, Are you serious? Can barely snap the ball right now. You want to throw the ball? But we walked away with a dub. Super proud. That Chance 6-1 team was tough, though. My God, I love good football on a Tuesday.
We're trying to get our hands on some all 22 film of these sixth grade football games.
We can break down some
youth football film.
You can get on my O-line. I get on them every day about it. They go, I'm gonna show this to the world someday. And now they're screwed. But yeah, hit me, dude. Let's do it.
I'm going to give you the first one here, but then we have a bunch from the audience. So if you keep hitting us up with your dumb football questions in the YouTube comment section, we stockpile them. We get to as many as we can. The first one comes from me, though. I want to know, are the Miami Dolphins about to be the greatest offense in NFL history?
Dude, they're
averaging 43 points. It's three games, but they're averaging 43 points per game, and they just put the second most yards up in the history of the NFL with 720.
It was stupid, right?
And without Jalen Waddle, by the way.
That's what I was going to say, is they don't even have one of their best players on the field. And you watch this Broncos game, and there's times where I'm watching the All-22, and I go, where the hell is the 11th man? Like, where's the safety? Oh, he's 40 yards deep. And then I'm like, wait a minute, they don't even have Jalen Waddle on the field. What are they so far? Oh, that guy. Oh, I get why. Like, and the way that they fake it, I hope you pulled some good plays, because his fakes are so smooth, and it's very San Fran, right? Like everything they do is like one in front, one behind, always kind of making guys go, "Whoa, what was that? Where is that?" They ran a play, and I hope you pulled it.
I think I did. We'll do a full film review on a different episode.
We'll do it another time. Don't worry, we're gonna get to it. But they ran a play, and I don't reverse a lot of things because I'm normally like seen it. He snapped it, tossed it. As he caught it to the guy going in motion, like a fly motion, and then it was so fast, and then he pretended to hand the ball off that the whole defense chased the handoff and didn't chase the – and my mind was like, what did I just witness? And you watch this, and you're like, and they don't even have Jalen Waddle on the field, and they're just getting going, and they just got this young rookie who's running for like 200 yards. Like, what the hell is going on? They're the leader of the team, the man in charge, is literally skipping around, doing the two-step shuffle and stretches, hitting the vape pen in away games. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, you love to see it, though, and it's fun because Tua fits that model so well, right? Like, this little fake, I'm going to carry this out. Oh, no, I'm just going to sling it left-handed down the field. I love watching him throw a deep ball, dude. It is so pretty.
It's about health with him, right? If he can,
with all of them,
wasn't he doing like jujitsu classes or something? He was taking classes in the offseason to learn how to fall the right way. But I don't even know how many times he's been hit this season.
Listen, with Vita Vea's hitting you, there's no jujitsu in the world that's going to be like, curl up and fall to the side. Right. He's going to throw you down like he's the Hulk, okay? Just take it and move on.
But dude, what they're doing is, and I know you think stats are stupid, but I can tell you that the quickest time to throw of any quarterback in the league this year. This isn't like your offensive line is bad quick time. I mean, this is like schemed quickest time to throw is Tua by like a half second per throw. So they're trying to, I mean, some of it's probably we don't want them to get hit, but they have the fastest skill position players. Here's another one for you. I think it was ESPN put this out like 2 days ago. They looked at the seven fastest clocked runners in the NFL on offense this year. All of them are Dolphins.
That's
22 miles per hour top speed on this play. Like two of them are Tyreek Hill. They got a couple other running backs in there.
Dude, they're using their system perfectly, right? We're going to spread you out at times. We're going to bring you in tight. When we spread you out, we like to run the ball up the middle, or we're going to run it over here. Like, we're going to make sure, because we have fast guys, we're going to get our playmakers the ball right now. If we do an RPO, it's literally catch ball, whoop, whoop, gone. The ball is literally gone that quick. And if you don't press these guys up front, they're gone in a quick. And that's why I think you're seeing all these defenses kind of like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We don't have an elite cornerback that can really just stand out here the entire game. And two, when we have two receivers out here and we start to put some guys in the backfield, that's when you're going to see the San Fran. And you've already starting to see it. Like, guys are moving around the field and it's making defenses go, wait a minute. A minute ago, that guy was the running back. Then he was the tight end. Now he's the slot receiver. What the hell is he doing? Like, what are they doing? Is it a reverse? Is it a double pass? Like, it's just constantly make you think, and you have speed that you have to track down, which is some of the hardest thing. Like, sometimes when you get into the speed versus power match, people like to debate it. My opinion is always speed can kill you, like, because it can just take off the house, take the roof right off. And that's why you see these safeties so deep. And then you're like, well, you're almost too deep because you're 30 yards behind the entire play. And I just watched Tyreek Hill catch this sail route. And he just scored because you thought you were going to catch him at the corner of the end zone. And he still outran you. So apparently being 30 yards deep is not the answer. So now the next team's going to be like, all right, well, let's go 25 yards. Like everyone's just going to keep trying to figure out what do we do to beat them. And then at the same time, you have to think, what if they just start messing with their personnel and start making you put out the personnel that you don't want to have out there? And I'm telling you, it's just the beginning of the season, and it's so fun to watch them already.
And like, and Mike McDaniel... You know, this is, I don't know, I was obviously wrong on this, but when I used to watch his press conferences when he was a coordinator, and he was kind of the goofy guy that would get up there on Thursday is the day where the coordinators do their press conferences for every team. And he'd get up there every week and he would just be like screwing with the media and cracking one-liners. He's like this kind of nerdy, mad scientist looking guy. And then when he got hired by the Dolphins, I kind of thought, I don't know. Like, is he a guy that's going to lead 53 men and a bunch of coaches, or is he more of a mad scientist, one-liner, sidekick guy? I don't know if this is going to work. And obviously it is.
Yeah.
I mean, he clearly has from the scheme down to just like the belief of the players. So, but he just doesn't like, he doesn't look or feel like any NFL head coach that I can remember. He doesn't look like a football guy, you know? He doesn't look like a football guy. But if you like Andy Reid looks like a football guy, you know? Sean McVay is a, like, you could see Sean McVay as like a slot receiver punt return guy, you know?
I don't even know what to say.
Mike McDaniel looks like a Second City improv cast member or something.
Listen, he looks like There's a lot of coaches that look like they don't belong. That's why I don't know if I get what you're saying. He doesn't look like your stereotypical coach that's going to come in and be like, this is how it is. It's my way or the highway. He's the guy that comes in and is like, hey, what's up, man? Right. Hey, you want 5 minutes late? You got it. You're good. All right, here we go. Oh, you want to come in late too? No worries. Come on, sit down. Hurry up. Let's go. Like, at some point, as long as the team understands that there has to be discipline, which it seems like they understand it, like they get it. They're like, hey, we can have fun, but as long as we're winning. And I think it'll be different. And the big question for them is going to be when they lose a game, what happens, right? Like, do they start to spiral or are they just like, oh, no, we'll catch ourselves or we'll fall? Or can they lose a game? I mean, let's be honest. You just put up 70 points against an NFL team. I mean, that's
bonkers, man.
That's... And the fact that you didn't kick that field goal after all the things that everyone's come out and said, like, you know, they didn't even interview for him and he used to be a ball, like the disrespect that they showed him and the respect they showed him, like, that just goes to show you, like, sometimes these guys can definitely surprise you. Like you said, he surprised you that he's a good head coach. It surprised me he didn't go for three there. Like, to
that would have been the NFL record, right?
Right. I wasn't even watching the game, but when I read about it and they were like, we were surprised he didn't go for three, I was like, I kind of was too. I could see a lot of coaches being like, hey, only a once-in-a-lifetime record. We're going to go for it, right? And he's just like, nah, man, we're good. We'll take the dub. Like, it's just it's a badass way of handling yourself and then turning around and showing the team, like, hey, we did enough damage, all right? They're going to cry for weeks about this. We don't need them to, you know. Seriously, this is enough. Great job.
Chris Thomason's going to rub it in the post game for
we got
for
this.
Don't worry about it.
We got a guy already over there messing with Sean. What's your question?
What's the biggest ass kicking you've ever been involved with on a football field?
Oh, I'll tell you
one way or the other.
I got the football in here somewhere. We played the Buffalo Bills in 2012, I think it was, and we put up over 600 yards of offense. I mean, we just over 300 rushing, 300 passing. We had a lot of fun, and that was back when they had some dudes up front too. They had what was that nose tackle's name? Remember he got in trouble for speeding? It's a first-round pick for him. They had him. They had Kyle Williams there. They had some dudes. They had some dudes there. But that
I
was
feel like that was like pre, like way pre-Josh Allen. Was that like Tyrod Taylor, Buffalo Bills maybe? Then.
Oh, and you know what another good one was? And this is probably one of our proudest ones is we went up to New England in December and we beat the piss out of them. But they came back and it ended up being like a 49-41 game. But the whole game, we rolled, man. That was a fun game, though, because they had Vince Wilfork in the middle and Kyle Love, and they had all those dudes on the defense, and Brady was throwing picks, and he was getting pissed and yelling at the refs, and dude, it was so fun. It was kind of raining, and it was cold enough that, like, wasn't snow, but you were like, just don't put your hand in the ground, because then your hand would kind of, like, get wet, and then, it was terrible.
I got one more for this week's slate, and then we'll get to some dumb football questions from the audience here. There's some 0-3 teams out there. My Vikings are 0-3. The Bears are 0-3, often ass kicking with Taylor Swift watching from the suite level. And their defensive coordinator just had to resign in the middle of the week. Justin Fields can't really play. There's a couple other teams out there. The Broncos are 0-3. What are the 0-3 teams feeling right now?
Oh, panic button. Panic, right? Like, you are you're deep into it now. You're 0-3. You put a lot of bad film out there. And I feel like, too, the morale of the team is probably going to be way down. Like, no matter how hard you try to be like, hey, guys, we should be 2-1, everyone's like, yeah, we're not.
We're 0-3, and Taylor Swift was yelling, let's effing go, and pounding the glass while the 40th point was scored on us.
Right? First football game she's probably ever watched or gone to, and she's going crazy. Like, you know you guys are getting your asses kicked when this girl doesn't even know what's going on. By the way, she had, like, a cheat sheet. Like, she had some, like, cheat sheet that was with her to tell her, like, what was going on and stuff. I'm like, dude, if she's going banana balls crazy, you guys are getting the shit kicked out of you. You need to figure it out.
Do you think – okay, there's been
their
some speculation.
I'm not going to lie.
Who, Justin Fields?
He drives me nuts. Like, just try to go in after week one and throw the coaches under the bus as much as you did creates such turmoil. Because whether you're right or whether you're wrong, you are going to have that entire building upside down now with everyone being like, no, he was just playing. He was just playing. There's going to be so many people that are like, did he just say that he's playing like shit because of us? Did he just say that? Like, and now you got everyone be like, no, that's not what he meant. Dude, it's week one. How could you not keep it together for at least 8 weeks? Like, yeah, you know what? Listen, we'll get him next week. Come back, fight harder. Here we go. You know, I think it's the coaching. Dude, you could not. Hey, ready? Light, run away. Just run and watch it go kaboom.
And you're right. And it seems like everyone before that Chiefs game said, even the coaches were like, no, it's not what he meant. And then Justin Fields had like two other press conferences. But that's the thing. It's like now you spend the whole week.
See?
If you just say it the right way the first time.
You're starting to understand, Mackie, how we think, right? Like, you just didn't even have to say that because now I'm going to get asked that question. Jeremiah's going to get asked the question. And for the next 45 minutes, instead of getting taped, I have to sit here and be like, yeah, no, there's no animosity. We're all good. He doesn't know what he's saying. I don't know. What do you want me to say, guys? What am I supposed to say? I don't know.
Alex Boone, you are a Jets offensive lineman right now, and a reporter comes up and says, is Zach Wilson capable of leading this football team? Do you still believe in Zach Wilson?
Listen, I can't even put myself in
that position. That's what they're being asked in the Jets locker room right now.
I mean, I'm going to be like, dude. No. He's not. I'm telling you. And that's sometimes where you're like, you got to fall on a sword. No, those are swords you have to fall on. And that's the one thing that nobody understands. Like, the Jets had it right. They had it planned. They just didn't plan for the one thing to go wrong that went wrong. Who could have said in the first four plays of the season that one of the best players in the NFL was going to tear his Achilles and ruin the entire season for this team? Yeah. Like, everyone would have been like, dude, number one, you're the biggest hater in the world, right? But the fact that it happened, now even they're like, dude, what are we going to do? How are we going to patch this up? How are we going to fix this? There's not enough good quarterbacks out there for them to be like, hey, we can just plug and play. It's just not that easy, and people need to understand that. I don't fault the Jets for that. I mean, it's hard to find backups as it is, but at the same time, it's like, dude, you guys are going to have to just grit it out and find a way. And if I was the O-lineman, I would fall on the sword and be like, listen, he's going to be fine back there. We just need to block better. We need to run block better. We need to find a way to run the ball. We need to find a way to get the ball out of his hands faster. There's a million things you say. Yes, it's the most political thing in the world, but what am I doing? I'm stopping the turmoil from starting. I am not the guy that ignites it. Why? Because if it goes kaboomy, I'm the guy with the fire extinguisher standing number one. Like, I can't be the guy that lights it and then turns around and goes, I was kidding. That's not how you roll as an O-lineman. You're you're mostly just like, yeah, we get it. In my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, dude, we're screwed. We are totally screwed. But what am I saying?
God, we're going to have to sign Carson Wentz after week four, aren't we? This is going to be.
Why? Because, and here's another reason. I'm a firm believer that there's people upstairs that listen to these, and there's people that are next to you that are listening to what you're saying. And as long as you're constantly saying, hey, we're going to be fine, there'll be people that know you're lying, but they'll jump on that sword with you. They're like, hey, man, if Booney's going down with the ship, I'm going down with it too. Why? Because we're all here. Nobody is going to come in and save us. That's what nobody gets. Like, guys, you don't tag in your buddy like, hey, it's week three, I'm out, you're in. Like, we're going to roll. We'll make a game out of it. We'll start playing fun stuff. We'll start seeing if we can throw the over-under on the interceptions. We'll start betting more on ourselves. Like, we'll figure out ways to make ourselves have fun, even though we know there's a train wreck behind us.
Yeah. I think the executives at NBC and ESPN are probably the most disappointed, because I think there's five more Jets primetime games on the horizon here. So,
hey, yeah. Did you pull that Monday Night Football song? Did you hear it?
Let me see if I have it here.
It had me wanting to go through a wall, dude.
I might have it here. Let's see.
And just Fletcher Cox with the bomb. I was like, dude, I saw him do that on the episode.
Do you, what is, which of the football songs gets your blood pumping the most? Is it the Monday Night Football
probably
song?
Monday night. Old school Monday nights I used to watch with my brother. It was amazing. I think
it's the Sunday night one for me. But yeah, dude, I think I found it here in my my folder of football songs. Oh, dude, that's the old school mix right there too, man. That's like the Al Michaels, Dan Dierdorf, Frank Gifford mix.
Dude, the best was when Harbaugh was in San Fran. He would play the music like on a big game like that. He'd blast the music as you were running out. He'd be like, "If you're not excited," I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm gonna have a heart attack." Is it?
Let's go.
You were like, "Oh my god, it's so exciting, dude!" Even now, when I watch these guys, dude, you get so excited, and you're like,
You bring up your guy, Harbaugh, here. It's a good segue, because the first dumb football question from the audience is from Skull Geek.
Right.
On the next O-line committee, can you please ask Alex about the time Jim Harbaugh slapped Jim Schwartz on the back too hard after that game? On Bussin' with the Boys, Delanie Walker said Jim Harbaugh planned it before the game.
What do
you remember? Were you on that team? You played that game?
If you actually go back and watch that, me and Harbaugh chest bump right before he goes over there. We were so excited. That was a really tough game. And I remember we were going in there and the Lions were really, really tough at that time. Like, you were going to get the best. And I remember it was a really tough fought game. And we ended up winning. And we ended up, like, to end the game, we had to go, like, big personnel. We had to run the ball. Like, just power, power, power. And I remember I was going against Bobby Carpenter at the time, who I played with in college. And it was just so, like, there was so much animosity. We end up winning the game, and Harbaugh's going crazy, throwing, pulling his shirt out, because that was his big thing. He always had, like, a motto or a saying, which I thought was great. Like, if you played really well, he'd get your name embroidered on a blue-collar shirt, because he always believed that there was somebody in your bloodline that had to work a blue-collar job to get you to where you were. And so you should be proud of that person and proud to wear this shirt. So, like, I'm telling you right now, people were massacring people to get this shirt. Like, it was a badge of honor in Harbaugh's eyes. And so you were always like, I just want to make that guy proud. So every week we'd have these contests, and whether it would be like kickoff, if you could run down there and smoke somebody, or on kickoff return, if you could come back and crack somebody and just upend them. Like, there was just ways to get guys motivated. And it was the dumbest thing. You know what's even dumber? I still have my blue-collar shirt upstairs, and I still put it on every now and then. My wife's like, you're
dude, you get to wear it on the show. Wear it on the show, dude.
I'll wear it next episode. It's awesome. It says Rhino. And I remember – and then so then if you got one of those, then you'd level up and you'd get the jacket. And the jacket was a what is that? A Dickies jacket, and it had your name embroidered on it. And so once, because you'd like level up and you get the jacket, and then after the jacket, there was like a belt buckle. Dude, it was, and you would just come to work in this jacket, and you'd feel like a badass. Like, yeah, that's right. I'm at a level three. I've been kicking so much ass. And then it was great too, because like he'd put these patches on your practice jersey that would show your rank. So like if you had been there for 10 years, you'd have like 10 stripes. And then if you had made all the off seasons, you'd have like an off season patch with how many stripes you'd have. And then like, all these, if you were a captain, how many times you were. So like everybody had like, because at the end of the tour, everybody was like 4 years through. Everybody had all these badass patches. And I look at it now and I'm like, man, you want to talk about the greatest way to motivate the biggest bunch of idiots. Like you were just so proud you got another tally on your patch. You're like, that's right. I've been here a while. I know.
Isn't this like at Ohio State, right? When you get a Buckeye on your helmet?
That was different. That was
like, what do you have to do? Okay. How do you get a Buckeye on your helmet?
Offensively, like if you score over 21 points, you get everybody on the offense would get a Buckeye. If you were over 75% on third down, everybody on the offense would get a Buckeye. If you would, you know, completed 75% of your passes or more, everybody got a Buckeye. Like there was a, you know, after that. But like this was more personalized, which made it fun because then it was everybody competing against each other. And so it was like, all right, big winner this week. Oh, Bubba Ventrone again. And you'd see half the guys like slam their books down like, this is bullshit. I should have won. It was great, dude. It was
just like it's like Bachelor, Bachelorette, where like you get it, like one person gets a rose for the week or something.
Yes. And that's exactly what it was. It was exactly like Gruden's Grinders. It was the guys that were working the hardest that made their ancestors proud and could be proud enough to wear a blue collar jacket. And it was like, and the reverse psychology that this guy did with us was phenomenal. I mean, you couldn't have said better things to get us motivated. And a lot of it too was, I think he gained our trust because he wasn't afraid to kind of throw himself on the sword. Like he'd bring up cases where he either got beat or something bad happened to him, and he was like, you know. And then all of a sudden he'd pull up film. Like one time we were watching our highlight film, and in the middle of it, he told us about how he was on kickoff and nobody believed him because he was quarterback. So in the middle of this highlight film, it cuts out into this old grainy film and they highlight Harbaugh and he's on kickoff. And I'm like, no way. The whole place starts erupting, right? Runs downfield, gets smoked from the side, doesn't get up. And Jim gets up. He's like, that's right. That was me. Everybody the next day, I swear, I've never seen so many guys run down so fast just to try and make, like, just to make him proud. And you were like, dude. He earned your trust so fast because he wasn't afraid to grill you, which, my God. But no, that was not planned. He was just super excited. That's just how Jim was. He was a real ball player too, which made everybody love him. Like he spoke like us, he talked like us. We would get into fights with each other, and he'd be like, I remember one time I got into a fight with a player, and I can't say who it was. It was a pretty heated fight, like really, really heated. And it was in front of his dad, and it was at dinner time. And there was only a few of us that stayed late for dinner. And for this particular night, I didn't have my kids with me. And normally we all brought our kids up and ate together with Harbaugh's kids. And like, we had a great time with him. He was awesome. But for whatever reason, it was just players. And me and this player were walking and we got into a fight about what happened the week before against the Giants. And I was pretty heated and I probably should have just walked away, but I didn't. I said some really nasty things and I tried to go after him a little bit. And I remember Harbaugh called me and was like, he was hot, and I had never seen him this hot. And he was like, I want you in my office tomorrow at 5:30 in the morning. And he hung up on me. So I was like, all right. So I go in the next day. He was still really pissed. And he was like, you know, as a teammate, I wouldn't respect this, and I don't appreciate this. And he really hit me hard because I was like, you're right. I never thought about that. I was like, but at the same time, this is my stance. And he was like, hey, I get it. But at the same time, you're a teammate to this guy. You need to be his teammate at some point. And I was like, okay, you're right. I get it. Like, he's one of probably the very few people that could talk you out of a situation because he was in that role. And he was like, that's not what we do as leaders, or that's not what we say as leaders. Even though it's what we believe, Booney, it's not what we say. And I was like, you're right. That was stupid.
Do you think he has one more NFL stint left in him?
Are you kidding me? I used to see him throw balls. He got mad because whoever was throwing balls at the Randy Moss tryout wasn't throwing them hard enough. He's like, give me, get the ball. Why didn't he? And he's like, what the hell's going on? He's like, get up there. Slant. Why didn't he? Gets back there, throws a dart. Toof, missile. Just
no, I don't, right in. I don't mean as a quarterback. I mean, you think he's going to be a head coach in the NFL? I'd love to see him play quarterback for the Jets. He's better than Zach Wilson right now for the Jets.
I promise you right now. Hand to God, that dude would win more games than Zach Wilson. I swear to God.
I think I agree.
Swear to God. Do I think he goes back to the NFL? You know, I do and I don't. I just think that Jim's a great guy. I love him to death. I don't know what he's going to do next. I'll be interested myself to see. If he does go to the NFL, it would be so fun to watch. Just because I think that these the generations, and we talked about this on a future show or on a past show, was how it's kind of the changing of the guard of the quarterbacks. You're getting really young in the NFL now. Like Aaron Rodgers was the last old quarterback. Now Patrick Mahomes is considered the old guy in the league. And it's like this whole football is changing back to how he used to run football with us. It's in the Niners, even at Stanford, like guys are running pistol out the ass. They're running a ton of RPOs. You could easily see him walking into a team and being like, listen, this is what I need to make this work. And I hope everybody loves to work, because I love to work. You're going to love to work. Like, that's the one thing. Like, if you can get everybody to buy into the work, 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 and hit one of his biggest sayings was more is more. And we all used to laugh and be like, wait a minute. Isn't it less is more? He'd be like, no, that's stupid. More is more. I'd be like, oh, okay. And another one was too, we're paranoid about being paranoid, which meant they covered all their everything. Every corner inch was swept out, cleaned out, memorized, like everything. And if you can get guys to buy into that, dude, it'd be interesting. Giro, I think, is still on the streets.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be, bro.
I'd love to see it, man. Hey, so we can ask this again when Jay comes back, but a couple people have asked over the last couple weeks, how did you guys go from being players in the NFL to being now on the media side? So yes. We'll ask you, Booney, what is your journey from being a player in the NFL? How and why did you become a talking head now, I guess, on the media side?
Honestly, when I played, I used to have a show in Frisco every Thursday where I'd go in and just mess around. And I would have so much fun just talking to the people. And like, I felt
was this
like
a radio show or a TV show?
It
radio
was on,
show? The Game?
Yep, The Game. And it was great. We had a lot of fun. We would talk about the game coming up and everything. And I felt like I was great because I could kind of distract people from some of the truths going on, you know, because at that time our team was really badass. And so everybody was always trying to pry their way in. And so the minute I would see something coming, I would try to deflect it right away and be like, no, you're crazy. Get the hell out of here. Or, you know, I would just totally mess with people. And so I had so much fun doing that. And then I came here to Minnesota and did one here, and it was super fun. And then when I was done, my wife actually signed me up to go to this broadcast boot camp through the NFL, and I had no idea what it was. And it was actually in Bowling Green, Ohio. And I was like, why the hell am I going to Bowling Green, Ohio, right? I get there, and it was like some of the most fun I've ever had in my life. And one of the guys that was there was actually Jerry Madelon, who worked at ESPN for a long time, director, VP. Like, the guy was a beast. And he was one of the people that was kind of running the show for everybody. And I remember he actually, and I keep this book with me at all times, he gave me this book. And one of the things that he talked about in the beginning was, he was like, hey, you know, if you're here to have fun, you're in the wrong space. And I was like, oh, dude, is he for real? Like, there's no way. And he was like, his exact quote was, it's not play, it's work. And I was like, oh, okay, this is nonsense. 3 days later, I had an entire notebook filled with notes. I was like, yeah, it's definitely work. But it was fun. And it was fun work.
It's fun when you put the work in and build the structure, then it can become a ton of fun. Yeah.
And he was right. And it was one of these things where it was like, if you know so much about this offense, why are you not trying to go out there? And one of the things that kind of drove me nuts was how people, and we would catch like Sunday night games as we were flying home, and you would hear somebody just berate somebody. You'd be like, it's not even that guy's fault though. Like, clearly it's not his fault. And then you would go back and be like, this guy clearly doesn't know what he's talking about. And it's always pissed me off because the O-line were always getting crushed. And you'd be like, but that's not right. That's not at all right. And so, you know, starting to go out and venture out and just talk and try to bring up the O-line as much as possible, I think people appreciated that. And the fact that I've never really had to lie about anything. And yeah, I get myself in a lot of trouble, but it's the truth, or it's how I feel. And so I don't have to. And I learned that early because I was kind of trying to play the political role a little too much. And I think some of my friends called me out on it when they were like, dude, you're not that guy. Be the honest guy. They're like, even if you're the asshole in the room, be that guy, because that's who Booney is. And I was like, all right, you're right. And so now, and it's, dude, it's super therapeutic because you get to watch all this football and you have all these things that you want to talk about, and all these guys that you never feel like get enough respect. And that's why this show is so fun, is because the O-line never get any love. And so it's fun to actually be able to, like, look how awesome these guys are playing. Like, even the Dolphins, look how awesome they're playing up front. And it's a lot of this is people have no idea what's going on and how it's, oh, they're fast on the edge. They're also taking care of people up front. And so the fact that we get to highlight them a little bit more and talk about them, it's super fun.
I think, too, like, you kind of nailed one of my biggest pet peeves. I've what am I 30 38. I'm getting to the age where I don't even know how old I am anymore. I've been in this business since I was 18 years old, so over half my life. And so I've run into a lot of players, baseball, football, basketball, that want to do this for a living after they're done, or they got done playing and now they want to do this for a side gig or for a living. And 90% of them are gun shy when it comes to telling the truth or telling a story behind the scenes. Like they're still sort of protecting something, or they don't want to piss people off. But at the end of the day, like, you can't really cut through the noise of all the other content out there and all the other people that are blabbing on a microphone or on a screen or whatever, unless you're being honest, funny and honest and informative and all those things. And so, absolutely. I mean, and not to blow smoke up your ass, but I think like the fact that you come on here and you don't really care if you offend someone, and Jay's the same way, it makes you guys stand out.
I think a lot of it too is we were in those shoes at one point. We lived that life. We were the guys that were getting crushed, whether it was by the media, and not that I ever really paid attention, but my grandma pays a lot of attention to what's being said about me at times, and she would call me crying. And I'd be like, hey, it's okay. Don't worry, I just got it from the GM too, and the head coach, and the owner. Don't worry, Nana. Everyone's giving it to me right now. But it was like the fact that I sat there at times and took tongue lashings for other players, I think that kind of gives us the right to at times to go out and be like, no, this was the guy that messed up. Why? Because he did. We know. We know he messed up. And at times, yeah, we know we messed up too. And that's the whole point of this, is at times you're going to mess up and you're going to screw things up majorly. But as long as you can fix it and move on, you'll be fine. And I don't think that as long as you're doing it with malice, like as long as you're not going after someone, you're just like, hey, the right guard didn't get the block here. This is what causes the problem, right? Like, we're pros. We have to get this. And if you think somebody's not going to break down who's making the biggest mistakes, they're going to. You might as well be getting it right instead of blaming other people. Like, you know, at times I hear that – who was I just – I was talking to somebody. It might have been my neighbor or one of the coaches up at EP. Somebody was – and they were talking to me about the play that we broke down, and they were like, you know, I can't believe that you think it was all Kirk Cousins' fault and all this stuff.
Oh, you ran into a Cousins crusader.
Yeah, and I was sitting there, and I was like, but I broke it down. Like, once you say 5-0, we're done. You can't expect us to snap the ball and then be like, oh, wait, no, we were just kidding. It's not a 5-0. Like, that's in our head. It's ingrained in you. You hear 5-0, we're done here. Anything after that becomes the next guy. I'm like, I know for a fact that they walked into that meeting the next day, and they were like, hey, look to your right next time, okay? Just be a little smarter. Like, the O-line, what could you say to the O-line? You got to be there. He's like, dude, I'm setting the edge. I'm coming back as fast as I can. Like, and it's the fact that you can break down in real time. Like, yeah, it wasn't the O-line's fault. It was the quarterback's fault. He should have done something.
And, like, that's a sweet spot for, I think, content today, is that you've got former players coming out, and you and Jay are two of them. I mean, Bussin' with the Boys is one of the most popular. I mean, hell, New Heights with the Kelseys. Like, former players, this is kind of a renaissance for former players to come out. They can kind of start their own thing. There's YouTube, there's podcasts. You could go to a network or a radio station, whatever. But there's so many places for you guys to come out now and tell people what's actually happening in a fun and entertaining way.
Right.
And so, like, the Cousin stuff is a great example of, you watch a couple of those plays, you know, and it's like, oh my God, the right guard, classic Ed Ingram again. It's like, well, he's had a bad season, but you explain sort of why actually.
That's where I think Jay and I feel the best, is when we're like, listen, I know everyone's blaming this guy, but it's not his fault. Why? Because that guy's eventually going to hear it from everybody. Like, I knew you missed that block. He's like, I didn't though. I didn't miss the block. Like, and then you got the defense starting to think like, did you miss the block? Because they don't know shit. They just go from what they hear. They're like, hey, I heard you're messing up. You're like, what are you talking? We're winning. No, we're not messing up. Oh, heard we were. My bad.
Hey, this is a dumb football question from Rich in Oklahoma. I kind of love this question, actually. Do players always refer to their ex-coaches as coach? For example, I always see Bill Cowher referred to as Coach Cowher on TV. Do his former players, like, walk up to him and say, hey, coach, how's it going? Like, if you
see a former coach. Go up to Jim Harbaugh and go, hey Jim? Jimmy. I mean, well, okay, I'm a different example, because I used to mess with everybody. I told you he's called Vic Dick, because he really was. Dick Fangio. Yeah, it's Vic. I know. But, like, most of the time, when you see a coach, you're just like, hey, what's up, coach? How you doing? And it's like a level of respect almost, you know, like, I don't know what else you, I would, I guess I would never really go up to a coach, especially somebody that I didn't know or play for, and be like if I went up to Sean Payton, I wouldn't be like, hey, what's up, Sean? He'd be like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, it's like former teachers. You know, I remember like after you get done with high school or college or whatever, and I remember going to get coffee or lunch with a former teacher, and they're like, no, you can call me Bob. It's like, I call you what? No, you're Mr. Anderson. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you're not. I don't. I mean, call, I guess
call me Jane.
I guess it's different. Like if you played with a coach for like I'm sure that Peyton Manning isn't going back to Jim Moore and going, hey coach. I'm sure he's like, hey Jim, how you doing? You know what I'm saying?
But do you think Peyton Manning calls Tony Dungy Tony or coach?
Tony, for sure.
You think so?
Yes. Okay. But I think that they're on a very different level. Like somebody like, I'm sure that Tom calls Bill. I don't think he calls him coach. You know what I'm saying? Like that level of respect is so tight now that you can call each other by your first name. But everybody else coming back, like I'll bet you that Wes Welker going back is probably like, hey, what's up, coach?
So Wes Welker is not, he's great, but he's not quite above the line where he can call Bill Belichick Bill.
I don't know, because I'm starting to think about Julian Edelman, and I'm like, man, I could really see him being like, hey, Bill.
Hey, Billy. You know? Yeah, I could see a Billy in there. Yeah.
No.
Gronk probably calls him whatever he wants.
No, I'm sure Gronk calls him coach.
Does
like,
he? Okay.
I feel like Gronk would have enough respect, but hey, what's up, coach? How you doing?
And, you're probably right.
Yeah, Tom's definitely like, Bill, how you doing? Good to see you. By the way, they asked him if he'd come play for the Jets. And that was great.
Wait, what?
Didn't somebody on Twitter
Tom?
Was like, yeah, they're like, no, stop asking. I was like, yes.
No, I mean, Tom hasn't filed the paperwork yet for his ownership. So hey, let's make some picks here, my man.
Can we talk about last week's picks?
Yeah. Whenever I say let's make some picks, I will always talk about last week's picks before we get to this week's picks.
I mean, I already know how everybody did, but I just want to hear you say it.
We all did pretty well last week here.
I'm excited.
So we pick four highlighted games that we project to be close, or that the experts project to be close. And we pick straight up because, as Jeremiah would say, spreads are for losers. So we just pick winners and losers here. Last week, all of us went 3-1, Mooney. All of us went 3-1. So you have a 9-3 record on the season. I'm at 8-4, just a game behind you. And Jeremiah finally back to even par here at 6-6. So he's dragging up the rear. The four games this week are Lions at Packers, Dolphins at Bills.
Hold on. You gotta think about this.
Write this down. Okay.
You know,
that's Lions at Packers.
Hey, you say, okay, it's at the Packers. Got it.
We'll start there, actually.
It's important. Oh.
Jeremiah has the Lions. He has, from 10,000 feet in the wilderness somewhere, he has texted in his picks here. So Jeremiah has the Lions in this game. It's at Green Bay, Thursday night game this week, I believe. What do you like in that game?
You know,
Packers down 17 rip in the fourth quarter.
I know.
Derek Carr goes out with an injury. Your Saints. And Jordan Love leads them back with 18 unanswered points.
You know, and I'm excited about that. And I think it's great. I think it's really great. But I think the Lions are going to be a little too much. This played Thursday night games. I'm telling you, a lot of it is who's ready to bite kneecaps off. That's really what it is. Like, you're into the meat of the schedule now. You're in week four. Everyone's beat to shit. Who's showing up? Who's not? I see the Lions.
There's only one team ready to bite kneecaps off, and it is Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions. I wish I could go against the grain here and be a lone wolf, but I think the Lions on the road go in here and they win this game. I think the Lions are just objectively better than the Packers, although Jordan Love has played better than maybe I thought and a lot of other people.
I agree.
So Lions across the board. All right, the historic Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills, who just racked up their second straight blowout win after a bad week one. Jeremiah has the Dolphins continuing their momentum in this game. I can go next here. Give you a second thing. So, all right, this is probably stupid, but I feel like everyone's going to pile too much on the Dolphins bandwagon after what we just saw. I think there might be a little bit of a come down after you score 70 points. They might be a little high on their own smoke. So I'm going to go Buffalo Bills to win this game at home over the Dolphins.
I don't think you're wrong, dude. I think the Bills, number one, have a tough defense. They always do when they're led by Sean McDermott. I like your pick a lot. It's in Buffalo. It's going to be a rowdy game. I think it's a close game, but I'm going Dolphins. You know, okay. I'm riding that tattoo all the way out.
Yeah, you're kind of committed at this point.
I'm committed to the Fins.
You're ink committed.
Come on, Marino.
All right, we had to throw this one in here because
it's not the.
We got two winless teams playing each other here. God. We got Sean Payton and Russell Wilson looking for their first win, and the Bears, who are just in disarray right now all across the board. Broncos at Bears. Jay has the Bears in this game. I'm going Broncos. I think the Bears are such an unsalvageable train wreck here. And I feel like when you get boat raced historically, and you have at least a couple of guys. I mean, Russell Wilson's kind of a shell of himself, but it's Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. These are two future Hall of Famers at their craft. Have some pride and go win a football game. I'm going to say the Broncos get on the board here.
Okay, listen. If this game ends in a tie, I want credit for it, okay? Because I could see this being like a 3-3 game. But at the same time, I'm going to have to go with the Broncos, right? Oh, my God, it's so bad.
I mean, it's an ugly football game on paper.
You know what? No, I'm not going with the
Broncos. Oh, he's changing.
I'm still not over what Sean Payton said, disrespecting another coach. I'm loyal to the cause.
All right, we're crossing out Broncos. We're going Bears?
I'm going Bears.
We're going Bears. Okay. Both you guys have Bears. I'm a lone wolf here with the Broncos. And then our last game here is Ravens at Browns. The Browns defense giving up 3.2 yards per play only through the first three games. Jim Schwartz all over that thing as the defensive coordinator. So Jay's got the Ravens going on the road winning this game. Who do you have?
I'm going, I'm from Cleveland. And I love Stefanski. I'm going to have to go with the Browns. Let's go. Is that Cleveland?
He was in Minnesota when you were in Minnesota, right? Stefanski, what was he doing? Quarterback coach?
Yep. He was great, dude. I love Kevin. Okay. He's great, dude. Great, dude.
So you got Browns. I got Browns, man. I'm kind of a believer. Their offense coming around a little bit, too. I know that Chubb's out for the season, so they got to find a consistent run game in the wake of that. But
I still think I like their defense, too. I think Myles Garrett is just drawing a lot of attention.
That's one of the – you guys check – and these both might not be up by the time you're listening to this, but in the next, like, 24 hours, we're going to have film reviews up on the O-Line Committee YouTube channel. Dolphins offense and Browns defense. The Dolphins offense, best unit in the NFL on that side. Browns defense, best unit in the NFL on the defensive side. And you're going to break it all down for us.
Cannot wait to watch. It's going to be so much fun. Got to join us.
So there it is. O-Line Committee podcast here. We hope Jeremiah finds his way out of the wilderness here and rejoins us next week. Pour one out for his cell phone the last 9 days.
Right.
And if you guys could give us a like and a subscribe on the O-Line Committee YouTube channel here, we would greatly appreciate that.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.